Well, good morning. Thank you. Great to see you all this morning. Welcome back, Doug Gould, missionary to Egypt. Great to see you. We look forward to hearing from your mission trip soon. And our condolences to Dave and Carol Hutchinson. Dave's mother, Barbara, passed away this last week, and so we're praying for you folks, and God bless you. Well, it's great to see you all. I want to ask you a question. I ask you, what comes to your mind when you hear the word Iowa? What comes to your mind when you think Iowa? Well, you know, some would say, well, it's our state. Or further, it's our home. It's my home. I love my state. I love my home. Maybe you think fields of opportunity. Maybe you think caucus. Lots of things can come to your mind, right? Here's another one. State fair. Oh, when can I go? I went 35 years ago. Once was enough. Butter cow. Or, you know, pork chop on a stick. Lots of things can come into your mind, right? You think of these words. How about this word? Church. What's the first thing that came into your mind when you thought church? Well, there's certainly lots of thoughts, right? Probably the most common, though, is where Christians go on a Sunday morning, right? For us, when you think church, maybe you think, well, I think the corner of Story and Kate Shelley Drive. You think that's church. So if you have your Bible, please look with me. Turn to 1 Peter in chapter 2. 1 Peter in chapter 2. So the thought is that some folks, some of us, even here, might think of church as a physical building. Physical building. Need to get that up to speed there. Anyway, church is a physical building, and you know, bricks and mortar. But is that really what the Bible teaches? Is that what the Bible teaches? Sorry, I like the song so much. I thought you might want to read it again. First Peter in chapter 2. Look at verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious to him. Look at this, verse 5. You yourselves are like a living stone. Living stone. Is a church a building? Is the church a building? Well, yes and no. The church is not bricks and mortar, but look what Peter's saying here. This is revolutionary. He's saying that you, believers, Christians, disciples of Jesus Christ, you are living stones being built into a spiritual house, a spiritual house. And rest of verse 5, a holy priesthood, a holy priesthood. So it's not talking about pastors here. Only a few of us can be pastors, but everyone, have you thought about that? Everyone, every Christian is a priest. You're all priests. We're all a spiritual house, and we're all priests offering spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. That gives a total different identity and understanding of the word church. Now, that word identity, that is becoming a very important word in our culture today, more and more and more so, isn't it? Identity. So I did a little research. ABC News came up with 58 gender options. 58 gender options for Facebook. And amongst them are agender, gender with an A in front of it. Androgyny, androgynous. Bigender, cisgender, gender fluid, gender nonconforming, non-binary. I mean, imagine you meet me. Hi, I'm Tom. I'm non-binary. What are you talking about? Trans male, trans female, and this was a new one, very end of the list. Two-spirit. That's an identity, an option. I think, now what on earth? But friends, it's critical that we try to understand what's going on inside a person's heart and mind, that want to move away from simple definitions to some of these words that perhaps aren't even in our vocabulary. What's going on inside? So what's needed? And here's where Peter is very, very helpful. Look what Peter does here. And he's really dogmatic about this. Look what he says in chapter 1 and verse 23, that you've been born again through the living and abiding Word of God. Verse 25, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. It's an enduring word. It's a forever word. Look at verse 25 again. It's a good news word. This is the word that was preached to you. Chapter 2, verse 2. New American Standard says, crave or thirst or long for pure spiritual milk of the word. Look at chapter 2 and verse 6. For it stands in Scripture, says Peter. And look at verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. They stumble because they disobey the word. You see what Peter believes? Peter believes if you're going to have any idea of who the Lord is, and any idea what salvation is, and any right ideas about yourself as humanity, person to person, he always goes back to Scripture. It's the Scriptures. It's the Word of God over and over and over. That's where we're going to get a proper identity. And by the way, did you notice why people stumble there? Verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8, because they disobey the Word. In fact, that's what they were destined to do. They're missing the Word. You know this idea of vertigo? Of course you do. I'm sure you've heard of it. But it can actually happen, apparently. I've never flown an airplane, but it can happen while you're flying an airplane. Especially the kind of pilots who fly, you know, the only thing I can think of is like Top Gun, where they're way up high and they have these jets and they're going upside down and right side up and just doing amazing stuff. But apparently vertigo can take over. And all of a sudden, as a pilot, and you're way up in the clouds, you can't see Earth, you couldn't say for sure if you're right side up or upside down. You don't know. And so you actually feel like, I'm fine, but you're flying upside down, and you're fine. But you look at the instrument panel, it says you're exactly upside down. You see, friends, that's what the scriptures are to Peter. That's what the scriptures are to us. That is our only source to really know what's what. It's the instrument panel. If you and I will rely simply on our emotions, our thoughts, our inner feelings, and trauma that has come our way, of course we're very wide open to inventing all kinds of ideas about our own identity. But the scriptures give us a very clear identity. Even in this passage here, who Jesus is and what he wants, but also who we are. Very, very clear. I just need to speed ahead here and get to this. I'm not sure here. I need a little help. The first slide says, who is Jesus? There we go. Thank you. So who is Jesus? Well, let's look at the verses here. What's Peter saying here? Look here. This is extremely helpful. Extremely helpful. Verse 4, he's the one we come to. Coming to him. So when you think of church, we're this building, we're God's people, we come to him. We might be going to a church building. You know, it's morning, hey, come on, let's get up, it's time to go to church. Get ready, got to go to church. Come on, honey, let's go to church. You might be going to church, but friends, the Bible's saying that you're actually coming to Jesus. We gather together, we're actually coming to him, coming to the Lord. That's so helpful to see who he is. And this is something we need every single day. Every single day we need to come to him, come to the Lord. So a couple weeks ago I had a tooth pulled, and then last Friday I had another tooth pulled. And so I was up on Saturday and, you know, kind of a little bit groggy. Anyway, my sweet wife says to me, hey, kind of woke up a little sore and kind of just, you know, groggy. And she said, hey, can I share with you what I found in Romans chapter 5 today? Absolutely. I'm hungry. And so she shares, and it was beautiful, wonderful stuff. In fact, I said, you know, honey, I'm gonna take that. I'm going to have my quiet time on that too. Went back, looked at Romans 5. This is what I wrote down in my journal. The love of God has been poured out within my heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to me. Romans 5, verse 5, New American Standard. See, this is what Peter means. You're coming to him. Who is he? What has he done? The love of God has been poured out within my heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to me. That's true for you. In fact, if you want to explore this further, we're getting into 1 Peter chapter 2. Explore this a little further. Come on out tonight, 7 o'clock. We call it the Bible Snaka. It's basically we're just asking good questions and studying the scriptures and really building up, encouraging one another. But on Sunday morning here, we come together as a group. We're coming to him, coming to him. And that he's the living stone. You see that in verse 4? He's the cornerstone, verse 6. And that, friends, is a very, very critical, important person. That's a very critical part of the whole building program. 2,000 years ago, when Peter's thinking about this and buildings were built, they always started with a cornerstone. Now, my dad was in the building business. He knows all about how buildings are built, and that sort of passed right past me. I don't know a whole lot about that kind of stuff, but I do know the cornerstone is absolutely critical. It's the first stone. And if that's not set right, the rest of the building will be off. It's the most important stone in the entire building. And if you take Jesus out of your faith, out of the Christian life, you take him out of the house, there is nothing left. Who is this Jesus? Well, he's the one we come to. Who is this Jesus? Well, he is the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. It was interesting at our elder meeting this last week, one of the scriptures we were talking about and thinking about was Revelation chapter 3, where John writes to the church, Thyatira, and Jesus is there, right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Of course, that verse is often applied to evangelism, and I think actually that can be a very helpful verse in understanding how we enter into a relationship. But actually, what? He's actually talking to a church. And here's the cornerstone. Here's the cornerstone, and he's standing outside his church, and he can't even get in. The church, the identity of who we are and what we're all about, starts with Jesus, the cornerstone. As soon as we drift away from him, there's really, honestly, there is nothing left. There's nothing left. So, in summary here, let me just say that Jesus, he is the precious cornerstone. Notice the Father, he's chosen, and he's precious to the Father. Now that just filled the Lord's heart, you see, because as he lived and walked and served and ministered, he was completely secure, knowing from Scripture he was chosen of the Lord. He was precious to the Lord. That's why he was completely free to be able to serve. Mark chapter 10, he didn't come to serve, to be served. I'm here now, please serve me. He came to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And he could do that because he was precious to the Father and chosen of the Father. And believers here, believers are those who put their trust in the Lord and are not put to shame. Do you see that in verse 7? No shame. I've been thinking a lot about this whole identity thing. There's so much shame attached to people's hearts and lives. And we invent these constructions of who we think we are and how we define ourselves, our identity. But when you come to Jesus, you believe on him, there is no shame. In fact, I like the ESV here. It says, the honor is yours. Instead of experiencing shame, there's honor. Honored by the Lord, being rightly related to him. See, there's a problem with self-declaring our own identity. There's a problem with that. And that is, there's no honor. You cannot self-honor yourself. So if you came over to my house and our house there, and I, hey, have you seen my trophy room? Nope. Oh, come on in. I want to show you my trophies. So I take you in, I show you this, show you these trophies. You know, they all say, Father of the Year, Father of the Year, Father of the Year. All these trophies. And you go, oh, that's nice. And you go, well, what? Where'd you get those? Did your kids give you those? No, no. I gave them to myself. You see, you can't honor yourself, can you? There's no honor. You cannot self-honor. It has to be bestowed upon you by someone else. And a believer is someone who's been honored to be in Jesus Christ. There's no shame there. This is good news. This is good news for you. This is good news for our culture. And there's rejectors. You see the rejectors here? Jesus is rejected by men. They reject the cornerstone. Verse 4, they reject the cornerstone, and yet the stone falls on them. They stumble upon it. The scripture speaks so clearly. Peter is so clear in his mind here. He sees as you open your Bibles, you see Jesus. You come to know who he really truly is. As you believe on him, you're honored. There's no shame. But if you reject the message, you reject the word, then there's nothing but stumbling and falling. That's a little bit about who Jesus is. Let me just secondly here talk about, as we close here this morning, let's talk about who are we? Who are we? And we're living stones, we're a royal priesthood, and we're a holy nation. Living stones, holy priesthood, holy nation. Now that's not, I don't think, if I asked you, tell me about your thinking about church, that the first thing you say, yeah, we're stones. We're bricks in the building. You probably don't think that way. This is one of the most critical passages here on the nature of the church, certainly in Peter's writings. He is really telling you exactly, this is the mind and heart of the Lord. This is how he thinks about church. And he sees his son as a living stone, the cornerstone. He sees all believers as living stones being built into a spiritual house. A spiritual house. Do you have Apple News on your phone, or maybe you get an app where you get the news? Here's one bit of news you'll never find on any of the news outlets. None of them will have this. Well, the spiritual house is growing again. So you never hear that. No talk about the greatest thing God is doing on this planet is he's building a spiritual house. And yet it's never mentioned. It's never mentioned. But what's going on, and I want to reflect back to last week, we talked about how Peter said that the word of God is like a seed, and the word of God is like milk. That's what's going on. As people are encountering the word of God as seed, they're born again. As people are encountering the word of God as milk, they're growing. That's a spiritual house going up. There's lots of metaphors here. Seed, milk, stones. It's all meant to help you and I understand this is what God is doing. He's building a house on this planet where his people dwell and where he dwells among them. And that house will end at the Lord's return. And Peter's been talking about that over and over. In other words, you matter. You might come to church, you think, you know, I'm not even sure I want to go to church today. People don't really know me that well. And, you know, friend, you matter. It's vital that you're here. It's vital that you're amongst us. We need each other. Everyone is a living stone. Not a few really special ones. They're the stones. Everyone matters to the Lord. If Jesus is chosen, and Jesus is precious, and he says this twice here in these verses, then guess what? As you are in Jesus, so are you. You are chosen of the Lord. You are precious to the Lord as a living stone. Jesus is the cornerstone, and we are all little stones, little stones. And that's your identity. I am being part of this spiritual house that God is building. And then a royal priesthood, royal priesthood. Not only do you matter, but you and I are free and responsible for our own spiritual health. There's not a priest, you'll notice as you visit our church, there's not a booth somewhere where you can go and confess your sins to the priest. We don't have that here. Because you are a royal priesthood. This is what revolutionized the mind and thinking hundreds of years ago in the mind and heart of Martin Luther. That's what started the whole Protestant Reformation. My goodness. This hierarchy Martin Luther sees, in, he says, I can't find it in Scripture. In fact, what I find is that we are all a royal priesthood. Notice verse 5, holy priesthood. Verse 9, royal priesthood. A key verse for this, and boy, I highly recommend this, is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Your spiritual condition is actually in your hands. If you won't take care of your own walk with the Lord, between you and the Lord, it's just not going to happen. And that you are a royal priest, and you can get your business done. You can connect and re-strengthen your own walk with the Lord. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse is for you. That verse is for me. I need it every day. So do you. As a priest, if you don't go before the Lord and get the blood of Jesus cleansing you, you're going to walk around dirty, clogged, slowed down. All kinds of troubles come our way. Keep short accounts with the Lord. To confess your sins is simply, it's to say the same thing God says about it. Tom, you were short with your wife. And I say, Lord, I was short with my wife. That's what I'm confessing. It's not about tears and emotions. I feel so sorry for what I did. That's not confession. Confession is to say the very same thing about your sin as God does. He says this is what it is, and we agree with Him. That's confession. And He is faithful to forgive you, and He is just. Now, if I'm writing that, I would have thought, well, I would say you're gracious. You're faithful and you're gracious to forgive my sins, which, of course, He is. He's just because Jesus Christ took my sins. The Father put my sins on Jesus on the cross. He is just to deal with my sins in a righteous way. And then because Jesus took my sins, He can be gracious to me. Verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Royal priesthood. There's many things that can be said about a priesthood. Perhaps we'll explore that tonight. There's many things that could be said. But at the heart of it is that you can go before the Lord. And then you meet the high priest, Lord Jesus, who went to the cross for you. On the throne of grace is Jesus, the high priest. The book of Hebrews is loaded with wonderful teaching on that. But you need to put your own oxygen mask on first. It's vital. Vital that you do that. So who are we? We are living stones. Secondly, we are a royal priesthood. And lastly, we are a holy nation. Chosen race, holy nation. You know, another topic is big in our culture today is racism. Everybody's a racist. Oh, we're all racist. Well, whatever's on the list, now we need to add another name, Christians, because that is a holy nation, a chosen race. All believers, globally, every generation, holy nation, chosen people, chosen race. Chosen race. See, and I think you're catching on to this. Without the Old Testament, none of this would make any sense. You notice that? Peter repeatedly is taking all kinds of themes as he's trying to teach those who are exiles and foreigners, trying to help them understand what it means to know the Lord. He keeps digging into the Old Testament. He keeps using Old Testament pictures, which means, friends, we only have one book. It's not two books. There's only one salvation. Same salvation, Old Testament, New Testament. And there's only one people. There is only one people of God. Jews and Gentiles are a holy nation. And this holy nation, I'm looking at this, it looks like the response here is that we're compulsive. See, we're actually, if you look close at verses 9 and 10, we're driven by a message. Our message as a nation, we were in darkness, but now we're in the light. Our message was, we were nobodies. We were nobodies, but now we are the people of God. Our message was, we received no mercy at all, and now he showered his mercy upon us. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. In fact, it's really important to link that word excellencies with mercy. We are to declare his excellencies. That's what our nation is all about, declaring the excellencies of the Lord, his mercies. I have in my office a book that, well, the title says it all, Our Guilty Silence. Our Guilty Silence. And I think about that sometimes. In fact, it's interesting. It's the book goes back into, I think, in the 60s it was written, but there's this fellow who's on the front cover, but his mouth is covered over with tape. And he can't say anything. He's a believer, but he can't talk. And so many times, most days, I'm out walking our dogs at some point. And I met someone in our neighborhood just recently and asked them, hey, how you doing, and et cetera. And they said, well, we had an accident in November. And, and she went on to explain that. And I'm sorry. But then this person said, but we're lucky because the angels were looking out after us. And I said, yes. And I felt like the tape went over my mouth. Angels? Well, yes, I believe in angels. I'm sure you do too. The scriptures teach that. But what the Lord is showing me on this, about excellencies and mercy, why didn't I speak up? Well, I'm going to next time. In fact, when I see this person again, hey, I want you to know I've been praying for you. And isn't it wonderful how the Lord showed mercy on you? That's evangelism. It's sowing seed like that. Now, no, I'm not sitting down and able to share the four spiritual laws at that point, but you have to start somewhere. And people will give us lots of clues. But if you're like me, you go, that won't help. Bring the mercy of God into the conversation. Because now you're declaring his excellencies. That's what a holy nation does, declaring the excellencies of the Lord. We started by talking about identity and showing all kinds of identities. And I'm pretty sure you didn't think, if I could say to you, give me some verses, give me some thoughts on our identity in Christ. You'd say, oh yeah, we're stones, we're priests, oh yes, and we're a holy nation. But that's part of it. That's very much part of it. We're living stones because we matter. We're priests because we're taking personal responsibility for our own spiritual health. If I'm grumpy, I have no one to blame but me. I can't say, well, you know, have you seen my life, blah, blah, blah. You know, blame. No. If we confess our sins, he will cleanse us of our sins because the blood of Jesus washes us clean. So we're stones that matter. We're priests with a responsibility, but we're a nation a race of people with a message, the mercies of God, the mercies of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a world that is very much hungry, thirsty for meaning, for identity, for connection, for purpose. And Lord, we're missing the target a lot because we don't listen to the scriptures. But Lord, that's not our case today. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for showing us, Jesus, that you are the cornerstone and that we are living stones. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. Help us to take that on board and live that out in a world that is very, very confused and struggling. In your name we pray. Amen.